You know, yesterday we talked about a couple of things. We looked at, on Brian's side, we looked at the authority of Jesus. We also looked at the mission and how we're on mission to make disciples as we're going about our lives. And then we also seen that that is to be of all nations. You know, if that's to me, you know, that can be across the pond or across the ocean. You know, near or far, as he declared, and as well as, you know, Jesus is with us always. You know, he's with you whether you go to the Sudan or whether you go to your local 7-Eleven or Wawa. And so that was a great encouragement. And then in tying that in together as from my side was simply, you know, prayer and bringing ourselves even under the authority of God. And as we spend time in prayer and just hearing his voice and direction as well. And then today, you know, we want to also talk about the connection to the Lord via being in the Word of God. Not just talking, because a lot of times, you know, what we find is a lot of times people may even pray or say prayers. And then they say, God told me this. And it's so contrary to even what the Word of God is saying. So we want to line up our lives with the Word of God and the Spirit of God as we continue to pour out even our hearts to God and let him speak to us. And one of the greatest ways, I believe, today is to have ourselves in the Word. You know, someone said, the daily bread allows me to be daily dead, so Jesus lives in me instead. And, you know, I want to encourage us today to be in God's Word. And so we see, picking up in verse 1 of chapter 6, an example that Jesus, you know, gives us here and in a real situation. All four Gospels declare this, and it's pretty interesting because you have the disciples there about to get tested. And you may be familiar with the story, but let's look at what the Lord gives us for application. It says, after these things, Jesus went over the Sea of Galilee, which is the Sea of Tiberias. Then a great multitude followed him because they saw his signs, which he performed on those who were diseased. And Jesus went up on the mountain, and there he sat with the disciples, or his disciples. And now the Passover, a feast of the Jews, was near. Then Jesus lifted up his eyes, and seeing a great multitude coming towards him, he said to Philip, where shall we buy bread that these may eat? But this he said to test him, for he himself knew what he would do. Philip answered him, saying, 200 denarii worth of bread is not sufficient for them, that every one of them may have a little. One of the disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, said to him, there is a lad here who has 5 barley loaves and 2 small fish. But what are they among so many? Then Jesus said, make the people sit down. Now there was much grass in the place. So the men sat down in numbers of about 5,000. And Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed them to the disciples and the disciples to those sitting down, and likewise to the fish. I mean, likewise, the fish as well, as much as they wanted. And so when they were filled, he said to his disciples, gather up the fragments that remain so that nothing is lost. Therefore, They gathered them up and filled 12 baskets with the fragments of the 5 barley loaves, which were left over by those who had eaten. And then those men who they had seen the signs of Jesus said, this is truly the prophet who is to come into the world. You know, when we look at this here today, we see something. First of all, we see Jesus around the Sea of Galilee, and that northwest side, if you may. And he says here there was a great multitude that followed him. But take note of it. It says in verse 2, because what? They saw him doing what? Performing signs. You know, each one of us have to come to a realization in our own personal lives. Why do I follow Jesus? Is it because of the signs? Is it because of my parents? Is it because I love him? Is it because I'm afraid of hell? You know, right? I mean, if somebody asked you today, why do you follow Jesus? You don't have to tell me, but what would be your answer? And that's something to think about. Am I seeking the hand of God? Or am I seeking the heart of God? And so here, as you look here, they say, look, hey, many followed him because he was like a David Blaine of the day. You know, somebody told me another guy's name. His name was Chris Angel. So maybe you know one musician or another. And they were looking to Jesus for some type of magic show. But he is so much more than that. Amen? 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 Amen. Say that like you believe that. Amen. He was more than a David Blaine. And here he had so much more to offer. But look, they were impressed with the signs and that he healed people that were diseased. And here again, remember, we are called to what? Make disciples, but also what? Be disciples. But now we have to come to the realization why we follow him. And here, as you look at this here, you notice something. It says here that he went up on a mountain, verse 3, and he did what? He sat with who? Y'all got Bibles today, right? We can converse. He sat with who? His disciples. Amen. And so here he says, look, he sat with his disciples. Look, in the Passover, you're familiar with that feast, perhaps. It's just simply the Jews celebrating their exodus out of Egypt, you know, and there's a lot of pictures there. And I don't want to get into that today for the case of time and so forth. But look here, I want us to see this here, because Jesus here, look, as he sees this multitude, and if you're taking notes today, in the reference in Matthew, it says that, hey, you know what? This multitude, Jesus was moved with compassion because they were like sheep without a shepherd. He had a broken heart for the lost, if you may. Sheep need what? Shepherds, right? If not, they just drifting everywhere, right? And so here, as you look at this here, it says, look, Jesus seen a problem. The people were hungry. You know, if you look back in the other reference, it talks about they were in the desert place. It mentions that, you know, when you take the different accounts, what happens, it was getting late, it was nighttime. And you know what? There's a couple of suggestions that are thrown out to Jesus. And here he looks at something here. It says, Philip's response, being a neighborhood guy from this area, he says, hey, you know, Jesus said this, hey, where can we find bread that these may eat? You know, when you eat bread, what happens? You get full, right? You ever, you know, we go to the restaurant, me and my family, and you know, the people at the restaurant, they bring out the bread, right? And if you go like somewhere like Olive Garden, it seems like they want to fill you up on this bread, and then bring you this little measly meal. You want more bread? And you see my kids like, and they eating all the bread. And I say, hold on, pump the brakes. You know? But these kids, oh, by the time the food come out, you know, oh, I don't want any more. Why not? If we don't pump the brakes on the bread, then they just going to eat all bread, because bread, you can get full on bread. It satisfies you. It meets the need. And here, look, notice here, Jesus is asking the question, where can we find bread that these may eat? Hungry people need to eat. And Jesus is concerned about people hungry physically, but I believe ultimately spiritually. You know, as we look at this here, look, it says he said this to test him. You know, Jesus will throw out questions to us. You know, as you're reading the word, he'll put something right on your heart. Boom, boom, boom. That's for you. To what? To test you. What? So that you can see who you really are in him and how he wants to bring you up and closer to him. And here, and so look here, notice this here. He says, hey, he asked this question to test him. Verse 7 says, Philip's answer, though, was, 200 denarii worth of bread is not sufficient for them, that every one of them may even have a little. You know, this is pretty interesting as you look at this and you think about it, because as you think, what is this? You know, you might say, hey, what is 200 denarii? Well, this is what I did. I went, you know, and Googled Philadelphia's minimum wage. And then I looked at New Jersey. If you're from somewhere else, I'm sorry. You can look it up on your own and do the calculations. But here's what it came out to be. In New Jersey, the minimum wage it happens to be $8.38. I'm sorry, Pennsylvania is only $7.25. I don't know why, you know. You figure it out. Get mad at them. Don't get mad at me. I'm just giving you the news. Right? And so here, look what happens here. If a person worked 8 hours a day at $8.38 an hour, he would make $67.04. Before taxes. That's right. That is before taxes. But here, look. If you're in PA, 725 times 8 hours comes up to $58. You know, if you worked a month, that only calculate to $335 for a week, or $290 a week. You work a month, that's only $1,348. If you work, and this is what he's speaking of here, 200 denarii, and we know that it's about a day's wage, the scriptures declare, this is about 8 months. Here, it would only be about $10,726. You say, give it to me. But now when you take 5,000 people, and you know, you might got some guys there that just eat at you out of house and home. Some of you guys, you know, you're home, you maybe don't work yet. You know, your parents are saying, hey, slow down. You're eating too much. But here, look, hey, this all this food here. And he's saying, look, not even this is enough. And you know, here's solution number one. If I had enough money, maybe I can do this. That's not what gets it. And here, look, understand this. That was his answer. Hey, you know what? Man, 200 denarii ain't even enough to just give somebody a little bit. And that was a reality. That was so. It was only a little. But I want us to continue to see, as Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, says this. Verse 9. Says, there is a lad here who has 5 barley loaves and 2 small fish. But what are they among so many? If you look at the other passages, what you find is one of the responses was, send them away. It's getting late. It's dark out. Send the people away. You ever felt like that? Like, you know, you're dealing with somebody and it's just too much. And so you're like, hey, text me and tell me you need me. You know, or how can I get out of this situation? Or you know what? Hey, I got to go do something. And we don't stop. And a person could be very hungry. Maybe not physically, but spiritually. We may have the bread, the very bread that the individual needs. But yet and still we say, oh, I got to go somewhere. You know, it's some people, you know, in our church, you know, some people just... they talk and talk and talk and talk. And you can get to a place where you just, I'm here with you, but I'm trying to hang in there. But they need my undivided attention. And people know when you're not paying attention. And here, look, they say, send them away. But here goes Andrew saying, hey, there's a little guy here. And he happens to have a little lunchbox. And we could bully him out of his lunch. Give me your lunch, guy. You know, no, that's Ray's foolishness. Sure, they asked him, hey, let me see your lunch. But look, I'll read something to you that we find in the other account in Matthew chapter 14. Jesus says this, don't send them away, but you give them something to eat. That's the first thing we need to mark today. We need to sit down with people and give them something to eat. You know, in our neighborhood, people need food as well as spiritual food. You see, we're very opposed to being humanitarian. Something like that. That word bigger than what my vocabulary is, maybe. But look, we need to not just feed people, you know, we can go about outreach just feeding people food. Here's a hot dog. Here's this. You know what? They're going to go to a local waste management system real soon, and that hot dog will be gone, or that thing will be gone that you gave them. But you know what? When you give them the gospel, when you give them the word of God, when you feed a person's heart, you know what? When they lay on the bed, they have something to lay on. The Holy Spirit has something to work with. And so I want to encourage you, don't just leave a person with a burger. Pray for the open door when you sit with them to give them more than just a hamburger. And here, as you see this here, Jesus says, sit them down and you give them something to eat. Don't send them away. And he says here in verse 17 of Matthew chapter 14, he says, and they said to him, we have here only 5 loaves and 2 fish. And Jesus says this. He says, bring them to me. I like that. Because maybe in your life, hey, I'm only a high school graduate. I never went to seminary. I never did all these, you know, classes or these things. Look, hey, you know what? God called me, period. What is your only? Hey, I only have this. It's only a little bit. You know, if you want to do a pull on Pastor Joe's teaching, he has a great message called What's in Your Hand. Check it out if you never heard it. And it's just showing through and through the Bible how people, look, Moses had a rod, but when he put it in the hand of God, it parted the Red Sea. It was only a rod in his hand. And the same thing, hey, what is that in you? Hey, is it only just 5 little loaves? Is it only a minimum education? You know, a little secret. Brian encouraged me, you know, today he was saying to us, hey, make sure you get yourself into reading. I hated reading all the way through school. I would pay people to. Yeah, I'm telling you, don't do this, okay? I used to pay people to do my book reports. I didn't want to do that. I had time for that. I was too busy doing other foolish things. I hated reading. This teacher would call on me to read out loud. And you know what I would do? You know, I try to find out, hey, if everybody's reading a paragraph, I count the kids down the line. When it gets to me, hey, maybe I can have this mastered. Or, you know what? Maybe, you know what? I'm just going to act like I don't know. And really, to be honest with you, I'd rather fight somebody than to read out loud. Look what God took. I only had probably about a third grade reading level. It's only probably gone up to sixth grade right about now. But look, hey, I love to read now. It's incredible. I don't understand it. God's done that. What is your only? I only have my testimony. And you think that's not enough because maybe you didn't go and do anything real crazy and off the wall. You know what? That's a more impressive testimony in this day and age than somebody that just gone with the current of the world and did everything that they did. And here, as you look at this here, he says, look, hey, this is the key. Take your only little thing and bring it to Jesus.
Put in His hands. Because if He's with us always, He's going to call out on that test. Hey, do you trust that I'm really here? You trust Him when you put your inadequacy, whatever it is, in His hand, and it becomes phenomenal. And here, as you look at this here, we find something in verse 10, back in our passage. The lad, verse 9, says, it was only a small fish, but what a day among so many. You got to see past the natural to what God can do in the supernatural. And then here in verse 10, it says, and then Jesus said, make the people sit down. When we looked at verse 3, what did we find? The disciples doing what? Remember? Sitting with who? Jesus. You notice what happens here now? In verse 10, now Jesus is saying, cause the people to do what? Sit down. Watch this here. Look what happens here. In verse 10 it says, hey, make the people sit down. Now there was much grass in the place. And notice here it says, so the men sat down in numbers of about, in the number about 5,000. This probably, if you took the calculation, because another passage will tell us that this was only calculating the men minus the women and children. It could be up to 20,000 folks sitting in that thing. And they're sitting down on grass. You know, and you can look at this scene. Put yourself there, you know, as these folks are sitting down on this grass. And Jesus is saying, hey, sit them down. How do you get a group of 5,000 upward to sit down? Sit down. You know, the kids yelling, I don't want to sit down. You know, somebody else is saying, hey, you know what? If you guys right here could just sit down right here and just stay there. And then you go over here, you know, and then somebody, you're going back and forth. No. Look, they somehow, some way, they sat them down. They got them to sit down. And notice here what happens here. Verse 11. We'll look at this for a second. It says, Jesus took the loaves. And when He had given thanks, He distributed them to who? To the disciples. To the disciples. And they, the disciples, did what? They gave it to the people sitting down. Do you see the connection here? Do you see where we're going here? Look, they were able to give it out. Why? Because before, what were they doing? They were sitting down with Jesus. You see, it's important that we sit down with Jesus so that when the time comes when Jesus says, hey, sit them down, we can now do what? We can get up. Why can we get up? Because look, hey, Jesus wants to give us something to do what? Give it out. You see, a lot of times what we can do is sit down with Jesus, take it all in. Ooh, yeah, I know this. I can explain it this way. I can flip it this way. You know what? I'm just becoming bigger and stronger and I can just rip you apart with the word. And I'm just taking it in. And you know what? You're not working it out. You're not giving it out. You become like we term it fat cat. You're just sitting there and getting sound doctrine. Yeah, and you just, and it's good. I love to eat on that. You know, you got your favorite teachers. I have them. And I just, oh, yeah. But you know what? God is calling us to take it in and give it out. That's how you stay lean. And here, notice here what happens. Hey, they sat them down and then they received from Jesus. And then what happens? Notice here, gave out the fish as well, as much as they wanted. Look, I like this here because, first of all, Jesus takes the loaves, says grace over them, if you may. He blesses it. And then here, notice what happens. He breaks it. He distributes it. He gives it out. But notice here, not only that, and as we look at this here, the key of sitting with the Lord, you know, we talked about in the model prayer, give us this day our daily bread. Day by day, we need to sit with Jesus so that we can receive from Him. But not only that we sit and receive from Him, this is the key. I want us to really zoom in on this. Because I believe this is very important. I believe it's the difference between just going head to head with people and heart to heart with people. You see, because we can go back and forth with Bible knowledge. But I want to encourage us with something here. I want to tell us this. The Bible is not just a subject to be studied, but within it, there's a person to be known. And here, I think we see something in that. If you go with me to 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, we see a great model, I believe, of this. You pick up in verse 5 of chapter 1, it says, "For our gospel did not come to you in word only, notice, but in power and in the Holy Spirit and in much assurance, as you know what kind of men we were among you for your sake. And you became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction with joy of the Holy Spirit, so that you became, notice, examples to all in Macedonia and Achaia, who believed, and from you the word of the Lord has sounded forth, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place. Your faith towards God has gone out so that we do not need to say anything, for they themselves declare concerning us what manner of entry we had to you, and how you turned to God from idols and served the living God, the true and living God, and to wait for His Son from heaven, whom He raised from the dead, even Jesus, who delivered us from the wrath to come." Look here. They knew it was more than just a word. You see this here? What is that? A walkie-talkie. You saying, "When in the world?" That's been up there the whole time. You saying, "When in the world is that? What's that there for? What does that have to do with this?" The only reason why that's there is this, simply. God's calling us to be more than a talkie-talkie. He's calling us to be a walkie-talkie. And you see something here in 1 Thessalonians. They were doing more than just talking the talk. They were doing more than just breaking down the word. "Hey, let me tell you about this. Let me tell you about this. Oh, you're wrong about this." No, no, no. They were living it out. It was a life transformation within them that even the others that were watching, and believe you me, hey, if you're in school, people, and you're public with what you believe and you walking with Jesus and you tell people, "Hey, I love the Lord," and all of this stuff, people putting on the looking into your life, they want to find one mistake. But when you give them good reason to say, "Hey, that's not what you said here. That's not how you act over there," then they just call you a talkie-talkie. But here, look here. If we would allow the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, to empower us to not just know the word here, not to just spend time with Jesus personally and one-on-one time sitting with Him because we know that's the right thing to do, we allow to pray it in, "God, and then work it out in my life, God." It's different. And maybe here, as you look at this here and you think about it, hey, again, they sat with Jesus, they received from Jesus, they gave out what Jesus gave to them. And what did they do? If we go back into our passage, we find there in the book of John, chapter 6 again, we find there, look, what are they doing as they're giving it out? They're serving. Right? They're serving. That's what they're doing. They're coming to Jesus. They're getting what they have to get. They're giving it out. They're serving. And y'all don't know about you. If you're serving 5,000 to 20,000 people, that's a lot of people to be serving. You know, we were down at the Katrina Relief some years ago. And there was about 3,000 people that were coming for breakfast, another 3,000 for lunch, and another 3,000 for dinner. Whew. It was a nonstop machine. Like, as soon as you finish serving, you had to go prep. And then you come back. And then you, it was a lot. But here, don't miss this. They're serving. And think about it. You're feeding 5,000. It was all that came from those five little loaves. It all came from Jesus' hand, the extension of it. And so when you run low, what are you supposed to do? Go back to the source. Amen. Go back to the source. You ever feel low? Like, man, I don't have enough, Lord. Come back to the source. Lord, here, look here. As you look, they go back to Him. They receive. And that's where we, too, need to keep coming back to Jesus. If you're taking note, John chapter 6, verse 35 says this. Jesus says, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me shall never, take note of that, what? Hunger. And he who believes in me shall never thirst. So what are we to do? Keep coming back to Jesus. We'll never hunger. We'll be, in other words, satisfied. And so when we look at this here, look, the exhortation is, hey, keep sitting with them. Keep sitting down with people. Keep giving people what they need. But we have to have it first. We need to live in it first. Amen. And so here, as you look, hey, when you run low, go back to Jesus. And here, this is the heart that of a disciple that will never run dry. Now here, as we pull it all in together. He says he gave out the fish in the same way. In verse 12, it says, so when they were all filled, Jesus said to the disciples, gather up the what? Fragments that remain so that nothing is lost. Notice here, the people that we were serving were filled first. You know what happens sometimes? When am I going to get a break? Well, I'm gonna stop. Well, you know what, people, you know, if you're in our neighborhood in Newark, you know, we just did this event, right? And we were giving people these sandwiches. And they coming back when they trying all every type of hustle. Hey, I only had one. And the kids are like, no, they just had something. You know, here I am. Oh, did you? Hold on. We'll get. No, they had it already. You know, but when you look here and you simply see, hey, you know what, people, and when we're serving, we can start to get all kinds. Well, when are we going to stop so I can get mine? You know, we do events a lot of times. You know, somebody say, hey, did you taste this? No, I did not. I didn't get a chance to. How much I wanted to, but I didn't get a chance. Oh, man, that fish was good. Glad it was. But here, look, don't miss this. Hey, the people were filled, and when we serve, we should have an other-centered mentality. The disciples should be, hey, you know what? I want to bless. I want to be a blessing to someone. Not so concerned about, hey, you know what? Make sure you get my hot dog first. And here, as you look at this, it says they were filled. In other words, again, they were satisfied. As much as they wanted, they were able to have. You know, look how the Lord blessed his disciples. He didn't have to do this. But he says to them, hey, you know what? Go gather up. You mean I just served about 20,000 people? And you mean to tell me I got to pull out the vacuum and clean up also? this is true for some people, right? You know, like, hey, you had the whole staff. You got to do it. You mean to tell me I've been giving out, and now I have to go clean up too? Yes. But at the end of the day, look what happens. Each one of them had their own little basket to sit on. And it wasn't an empty basket. It wasn't half. It wasn't molded. It was what? Filled. And so here, don't miss this here. Very important as we see this. Hey, the Lord calls us to steward what He gives us. Nothing's to go to waste. You know, your life, no matter what you've been through, no matter what you're going through, you know, you might want to throw that away. God will use it for His glory. You know, the thing that you try to suppress and not tell anybody about, He'll use that, and it won't go to waste. Look, understand this. He says, their baskets was filled from the fragments, the barley loaves, and they left the leftovers by those who had eaten. You know, I want to give us three things as we close out and we think about these things and consider tonight or this evening. Ask yourself, am I sitting down with the bread of life day by day? I told you I wanted to read something to you from 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 12. I call this get in the red zone. I'll explain why in a second. It says, let no one despise your youth, but be an example to the believer in word, in conduct, in love, in spirit, in faith, in purity. Till I come, give attention to reading, to exhortation, and to doctrine. Do not neglect the gift that is in you, which was given to you by prophecy with the laying on of hands of the eldership. Meditate on these things. Give yourself entirely to them, that you may, your progress may be evident to all. Take heed to yourself and to the doctrine. Continue in them, for in doing this, you will save both yourself and those who hear you. When you look here, look, notice here, and Paul gives Timothy a couple of things here. First of all, he says, hey, don't let nobody despise you. You know, junior high school guys, hey, don't let nobody despise you. But the exhortation is this, be an example. Remember, thermostat or thermometer. Set the tone when you step in the room. You know, when we came in here this morning, it was, whoo, somebody set the tone in here. It was going to be cold. You know, and I left my binky at home, you know, this time. My little hoodie, I'm comfort zone hoodie. I left it home this time, but I needed it. But they set the tone. It's going to be chilly in here today. We're going to keep everybody awake today. And here, look, don't miss this here. Look, you be an example. Be an example in your words. Be an example in your conduct, your lifestyle. And it goes on. But look here, this is the key I want to point out today in reading verse 13. It goes the R, in exhortation and in doctrine. If we would give way to each one of these reading, hey, your devotional life. You know, don't just go here and there with it. Be consistent. Look, hey, and if it becomes redundant, switch it up. You know, I'm not into stale just, oh, you know what? I've been reading Tozer on Leadership for this year, and I'm just going to keep reading it because, you know what? After all, I just want to finish. That might work for some. I'm not knocking that. But if I'm not sensing, hey, God, you're speaking, you're moving here, you're stirring my heart up in these things, I'm pushing it off. Why? Because I need something fresh. So I'll go to something else. And I want to encourage you, hey, in your devotional life, make sure it's fresh and not religious. And here, look, so read the Word. Continue to read it. Read it. Be in it, but let the Word soak over our hearts. And here, an exhortation, you know, proclaim to people. Tell people. You know, share what God has been sharing with you. And in doctrine, hey, what is it? Studying the Word. Rightly dividing the Word. Here, look, what happens here, this is the outcome when we do such. Hey, he says here, meditate on these things. Give yourself, not half-heartedly to it. But he says here, give yourself what? Write it down. Mark it down. Entirely. For what? Your progress will be evident to everyone. School, parents, you know, youth leaders. Hey, man, that person's grown. That person's changed. Why? Because you've made a commitment to give yourself entirely to spending time in the Word of God, hearing the heart of God, allowing the power of the Spirit to work in through our lives. And here, notice, he says, when we take heed to ourselves first, we don't just want to go tell everybody, but we want to live it out. Your private life. Take heed to yourself and then the teaching of it. Notice here, if you continue in that way, you'll not only save others, but you'll save yourself. You'll save your soul and you'll save yourself a lot of headache and heartache. And so I want to encourage us tonight. Secondly, I told you I had three questions. One, continue to sit down with the bread of life day by day and ask yourself, are you doing such? And am I giving out what he has given to me? Not only that, but am I satisfied in him? Or am I looking around for something else? Am I trying to satisfy myself in something else? You know, Mike just blessed me with a little book. I don't know if I was supposed to tell anybody, but in one of those certain places that I talked about yesterday, I started reading this little great little book. And it says here, the more we study the mind of Christ, the more we are in his company, holding converse with him as our best and dearest friend, catching up his holy looks and holy dears. It says, the more shall we be transformed into the same image. Because we take on and seek the mind of Christ, the heart of Christ, we should look like what? Right? If I could be like, not Mike, like Christ. Father, we thank you for your word tonight. And we pray, Lord God, that you would continue to transform our hearts. That we would become more like you. Even as we sang a while ago, we spend our whole lives seeking you, and there's so much more to be found. Father, we just want to seek your heart tonight. Forgive us, Lord, for just seeking your word to know more. Just to do it, to say we did it. Lord, continue to take us places with you. Intimately, Lord. Light us up, Lord God, through your word. Your word is living and it's powerful. And we pray, Lord God, that life would flow from your word. Your spirit would just fall on our hearts. You would show us, Lord, the beauty of your glory, Lord God. We thank you for your loving grace. We thank you, Lord, that wherever we may find ourselves tonight, we can go deeper with you. We can draw closer to you, Lord God. You call us to draw near to you, Lord, and you said you would draw near to us. Lord, give us an urgency about your word. Lord, you said that there was a day that was going to come, that there'd be a famine in the land. Not of food, a drink, but of your word, Lord God. And we have the privilege to have your word at our hands right now. We pray, Lord, that we would hide your word in our hearts. We would walk in it. We would surrender to it. And we would take on, Lord, all that you pour out. Satisfy us, Lord, for you are the bread of life. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen, amen, and amen.